This is St. Louis Public Radio. 30 years ago, two seminal hip-hop albums were released to the world, changing the history of music forever. The albums Straight Outta Compton by N.W.A. and It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by Public Enemy brought to the masses issues of inner-city crime and police brutality in the black community. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis speaks with three local music experts on the cultural significance of the two albums.
That's the song Show 'Em What You Got from Public Enemy's It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, the group's second album, which came out 30 years ago. I sat down with several hip-hop enthusiasts, including Franchot Cunningham. He explains what he remembers of the albums when they came out and why they're so significant.
I was a senior in high school, so I remember this very vividly. It was, a movement. Both rap groups were just amazing at the time. So, yeah, it was a great time in music for me.
Cunningham has worked with Roz Norman, a professor at Webster University teaching hip-hop entrepreneurship. Norman was living in Southern California in 1988 and remembers the socially aware messages that both groups brought into the mainstream.
At that time, they were the voice for the voiceless. They were the ones that were like the journalists of what was happening in their neighborhood or the hood. And they were real about it. You know, so if you want to look at semantics, some people get upset because they say, oh, they use a lot of profanity and all this. I said, but you have to go back to the time, give it context, understand the background.
I wanted to know how later artists were inspired by these albums. James Biko, a local DJ, had this to say.
You know, without Straight Outta Compton, without It Takes a Nation of Millions, we wouldn't have The Chronic. And then we wouldn't have Doggy Style. And then we wouldn't have, you know, Tupac's catalog. And then we wouldn't have Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? Without It Takes a Nation of Millions, pretty much the same thing, but also we wouldn't have Brand Nubian. We might not even have Tribe. These definitely help with the trajectory of more people, like we said, descendants.
While N.W.A. was creating records on the West Coast, the group Public Enemy were in New York doing their own thing. Cunningham explains that it wasn't just their locations that differentiated them.
N.W.A., they didn't care. They just came out and was like, this is who we are, like us, or forget about us, you know. But we're here, and this is what is going on in our community, and we want to express that. Public Enemy, I think, were more mature, more strategic in their movement.
Both N.W.A. and Public Enemy created a new hip-hop sound. Norman says the L.A.-based N.W.A. resonated across the country, but especially in St. Louis.
Even though you were dealing with what was going on in South, Central, around Compton and all that, dating back to the time, even the period when I was out there, what I'm getting at is it's still here. I'm looking at the fact the cycle continues to repeat itself. It's still here because that's Ferguson. Okay? That's Ferguson. When you sit there and think about that.
That's the song Frontline by local artist MC Keem. He recorded it after the protests in Ferguson, and just like N.W.A. and Public Enemy, he's bringing issues of police misconduct to the masses by using socially conscious and relevant lyrics, the same type of lyrics that help propel hip-hop to be the number one genre in the world. The fact that genre is now number one, according to Billboard, isn't a surprise to Norman, Cunningham, and Biko. They reflect how these two albums contributed to hip-hop's dominance.
They're definitely part of the foundation.
Yeah, they're definitely part of the conversation.
They laid the foundation for the future.
It's not just them, obviously, right. But yes, definitely. Those two albums are critical in the conversation about the ascension of hip-hop.
I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.